Your mind finds its way back to waking with relative ease. Every moment that passes finds you more and more firmly in your environment. You are surely exactly where you expect to be, exactly where you're meant to be, at a desk, in a large classroom, with a professor at the front smiling faintly, leaning against the doorframe, her lacy dress swaying in an unseen breeze. You expect it to be in a bed. Waking to begin your day right now would be normal, surely. But instead, you are here. Waking here is strange. Did you nod off in a class you had never been in? The only humanoids present are you and the instructor. And from the way her eyes flash milk white in appraisal of you, you're certain you were right not to say the only human present. Her outfit is revealing. Her walk a swaying temptation as she moves to the desk. And just because there are only two of you humanoids present, doesn't mean nothing else is. She begins to sketch designs on a whiteboard as she speaks, her finger trailing smoke and light to form diagrams. Diagrams of anatomy just like yours. She looks at you, white eyes locking with your own, black painted lips on her locked in a feral grin. None of the other creatures turn. You'd been refraining from looking at them, glossing over them in the dreamed way you've been doing everything since you woke up at this desk, in this chair a little too comfortable to be any college's seat. But it is, though it is like an armchair, a reclining one, your seat. But all the creatures make noises between purrs and moans. The tentacular beasts, the creatures with dripping and ridged tails, the green shape-shifting orbs sliding higher in their seats. They make these noises because the instructor has slid open her desk and removed a long cylindrical object and a smaller phallic one made of polished steel. The phallic object changes before your eyes, twisting, becoming more tentacular, beginning to self-lubricate with thin juices. You wonder about the source of them. Oh, and then the slickness between your thighs becomes so much more than it was before. Your hand, you hadn't noticed it wandering. How long have you been touching yourself thus? Her eyes are meeting yours right before yours roll back. Good, that is good. Anyway, class, this tool will replicate the conditions in a real, dripping sex. And this tool will climax just as readily. If you make it oversensitive, if you induce climax too often, too quickly, if you reduce this testing device to a puddle of need as quickly as you normally would, I will be forced to make this lesson short. So you all have to exercise restraint. You all have to do work to keep yourself from experiencing it. You all have to keep yourselves from experiencing what you've wanted. None of you will get to play with the real thing. Other than mine, there isn't a humanoid pussy within miles of this place, and you all need to learn restraint. You think the instructor winked at you at that point. Gentleness. You need to learn how to slowly increase arousal until the subject breaks and begs for their climax. Giving it to them too easily is cruel. You'll break your toys, your subjects, your projects. The murmuring in the class continues, more excited than before. She places the cylindrical tube, the sleeve, on the desk. You see glistening, squeezing pussy lips inside the tool, and a very firm, rigid clit, which she brushes the tip of her finger across. Your hips buck up and then fall down, up and down, in time to her merely brushing it. The sleeve, the toy, made to look quite like your own genitalia, and you're more sensitive than ever before. The entire clenching system of you is being abstracted and wired onto that sleeve. The one in her hand that you just know is going to be penetrated with that long, curved metal dildo. To brush that clit is more like she's making love to every erogenous zone in your body, amplified. Every spot that feels even slightly good is being spotlighted, bombarded with shuddering, momentary stimulation. more intense due to its lightness, its delicacy, the perfection of her touch. You hold your moan in, barely, barely. It takes everything you have. But moan. You know the consequences. You can see what would happen. You see the tendrils of the nearest student wiggling in anticipation, mimicking the light caresses the instructor's using on the toy. This college for monsters is full of creatures who would happily bring you to sublime, pleasured, lost, addictive, chaotic, orgiastic release. They would fall upon you and you would lose all thought. They would have no mercy and you would love it. And you're still not quite sure if you should moan, but you're going to hold back for now because she's giving you a look. The tool she has now anchored securely to the desk, a suction cup, allowing the sleeve, which is mapped to your pussy, which has its sensation shared with your pussy, allowing it to be held in place. You see the phallic tail of what looked at first like an ordinary woman sitting in front of you. You see how her form is comprised of sucking tendrils, searching mouths, how she would look and taste you. They're all far too interested in the soaked, dripping recesses of that sleeve. You're at the back of the class, and there's no world where they're going to turn around. They're all far too interested in the device that is mapped to your pussy. You're at the back, and there's no world where they will do anything except watch her slowly trail a finger inside the device. Inside the slit, you know, is the center of your world, of your mind, of your body. As a single finger slides inside of it, your soaked slit drips and squeezes. She's wired more than your pussy. Your clit is wired to the squeezing passage within that toy, too. Even your ass is clenching, constantly experiencing shuddering stimuli. She is wired more than just your lower body into the toy. All of you is experiencing it. Every bit of you is wired in, lodged in that simple opening, that display piece that she has facing the class. Everyone is staring not at the willful stimulation of your body, but up at the front of the class, staring at the willful manipulation of your very soul, laid out in the dripping synthetic device. And you adore it. You adore being on display without quite being on display. You revel in feeling your juices drip as you realize the little metallic tendril she's lining up, preparing to push inside, is wiggling and moving prehensilely. Will drive you over the edge. Almost, but not quite. You think about climax. Think about touching yourself. Think about coming, mindless, helpless, lost in the squeezing between your legs, and nothing turns up. You know the concepts, abstractly, in general. But what is climax? The specifics are lost to you. When did you most recently come? If you were going to touch yourself and make yourself come right now, how would you go about it? You can envision being edged, being right on the edge before tumbling over the point of no return, the last gasp. But no return from what? It'd feel kind of good, right? But how would it feel different than the stimulation deep inside your pussy right now? How would it feel to come? She's inching you up, edging you up. Your whole body is sweating, sticking to your seat. Your mind is dripping out of the sleeve that she has placed up on the desk. The one she's tracing with the tip of that metallic toy. You expect it to be cold, but warmth spreads from the point of contact. A catalytic reaction born of the liquid lubrication upon the toy, finding its way through your nervous system, holding you at the bucking, gasping edge of something you not only fail to grasp, but fail to even remember well enough to crave. If you could find refuge in craving something, you could escape. Escape the squirm. Escape the drip. Escape the constant squeezing of an empty slit you wish were stuffed full, fucked deep, and what? What else? Nothing beyond that. You lack even the escape you would gain from knowing what you need beyond this. Instead, the paradox of satisfaction, this torment, this ache, this want, is simultaneously exactly what you need, and not quite enough. The tip of the silvery toy slips inside the sleeve at the front of the class, and you raise your hips, forearms braced against the arms of your seat, holding yourself up, barely holding yourself back, just enough to push your sex forward, keep your legs spread, a position that would be even more ridiculously on display. If they looked at you, they would pounce on you, hunger for you. What's happening between your legs, what's happening at the front of the class, is the only thing you need, the only thing you can think about. There's no way to seek more. because nothing more exists. There is no more than this moment of your whole body squeezing in preclimactic spasms. You hear her voice, but it isn't enough to let you hide from the way you crave. It only makes it sexier, worse, better, more constant. I have made this tool to approximate the class average. While its venom... Oh no, you hear the word venom. While its venom is not the strongest of all of yours, it is enough to dilate, open, relax, engage the pelvic floor, induce this nub to harden. She flicks your clit, and the increased blood flow and excitement from hearing what the toy was going to do to you makes you acutely aware that yes, you are opened, dilated, relaxed, your insides are clenching rhythmically, your ass is squeezing, you buzz so hard, your buttocks tense in a vibrating storm. Your belly clenches everywhere except between your legs, goes wild enough to be exhausted, tensing. It would feel rough, difficult, if it weren't also the best thing you've ever felt. When the reverberations have faded just a tiny bit, you have enough time to see what she's doing. She's pushing the toy inside. The ridges vibrate perfectly, seeking the most sensitive spots inside of this example. And she runs her finger over the clit, making an example of you as you muffle your own moan, thrashing and twitching. But of course, the vibration refuses to engage enough to trigger release. Release is, in fact, impossible for any of you. Yes, I did catch some of you getting off last week watching a similar demonstration. Even my powerful muscular control prevents me from achieving release. I see you rubbing yourself off, Solise. It won't work. Nothing in here can climax during the lesson. Now, a green woman at the front of the class pouts, her entire shape-shifting body shivering along its gelatinous curves. You'd be rubbing yourself off, too, except when your hand found its way down long ago. Smooth. You're completely smooth, touchless, featureless. The space between your legs is receiving signals, but it's no longer home to a dripping, needy hole. It is no longer home to a rigid clit that numbs your mind and engulfs you in euphoria. That is at the front of the class, with her, enchanted to look like a sex toy, a demonstration model. And you suppose, based on the way she's toying with you, that you are a sex toy. Oh, she has you. She has your slit. She has your pulsing little button. She has the ability to send so much pleasure into you. You clench your ass. You imagine that the lubrication that's being used inside that toy must be your own juices drooling and dripping. You squeeze parts of you that have nothing to do with your pussy, and they still feel good. Clenching your ass, squeezing your hole again and again. You do run a hand over your nipples, and it feels good. But of course it would never get you off. She reminded you just now. You'd forgotten, and you're sure you'll forget again. But climax does exist. Coming exists as a concept. Your erogenous zones won't overcome everything, won't set you off, but they'll be enough to keep you thinking, keep you alert, keep you sane when she... Of course, like all of you, says the instructor, once this is inside, it won't come out until climax happens. Thus, you will know that I am truly managing to keep going this long without allowing this device to register a true release. By raising the ceiling for climax, I can demonstrate for much longer. She said that none of the creatures in this room would let go until climax happened. Oh dear. Now you find yourself examining your classmates through the haze and through the sweat dripping down your forehead, through the drugged warm feeling in your every limb. You see the mass of tendrils, the dripping envenomated tails and tongues all over the room. Every creature in here could do so much to you. They could ruin you. They could break you. They could condition you. They could train you. Some part of your mind says, please, please. You see one glowing faintly and find it difficult to look away. What would she do to you if her attention was on you, if your attention was on her, if you let her? The instructor said that the toy she has is an approximation of what the average person in this class could do, and based on how your pussy is teasing your brain rapidly leaking out onto the demonstration device, onto the tendril being pushed in and out, there's no way to tell, no way to know. You're lucky you're safe. Lucky you're safe at the back of the class. Your whole body shakes at the possibility of not being safe, and how good it would feel to cry out. to gasp, to respond to her plunging the entire toy inside the sleeve that is your pussy. You see the tendril expand, but you feel that before it happens. It expands just inside your passage, swelling, filling, fulfilling utterly, and causing the entire body to throb, your entire body, but you feel more and more distant from it, as though you were zooming out, observing it all from above. Who is this shivering, mindless mess in front of you? Who is this clenching thing so obviously being stuffed, dosed with aphrodisiac venom, and driven to their limit? She's moving the toy in and out the tiny bit she can, because of course the passage, your passage, is squeezing so eagerly on it. You're supplementing what the magically enhanced toy is doing, squeezing your ass and running your hands over your inner thighs. It's useless to touch yourself between the legs, so everywhere else is becoming more obviously available, more obviously stimulatable. You can touch yourself over and over again. You can find yourself in the most pleasurable possible place, which is to be right at the brink. The brink of what? That's forbidden. That's unknown. But whatever is happening, she's shoving the toy in and out now, managing to pull against the powerful clenching shivers inside you, managing to thumb your clit enough in front of the eyes of all these hungry creatures. And then she withdraws her hand. You look at the silvery, amorphous, inflating, venom-emitting length of the metallic toy buried inside the device being used for testing. Buried inside you. Whatever magic has stolen away your weeping, dripping passage has transmitted heat back and forth. The metallic toy is so warm it's heating up from you, taking on your body heat. She's stopped touching it, she's just leaving it deep inside, leaving you like this with the expanded toy in there, leaving you shaking, leaving you clenching your ass and gripping your thighs and trying desperately to tip the stimulation just a little bit more beyond the limit. Oh no. She pushes the pleasure back into your body by doing nothing, because now the toy, the silvery toy, the tendril, is moving on its own, expanding, swelling outward. It was so heavy and hot, because so much mass was being crested, pressed, compressed into the sleeve, into the warm, expanding tentacle inside of you. The sleeve that the instructor anchored to the table, the tentacle moving inside your dripping euphoric passage, dumping pleasure into you, swelling outward up, curving against the perfect places inside of you, spreading. You see it spread onto the table as though it were pouring outward from the metal, forming an anchor, no, forming knees, legs, toes, a torso, a dripping pussy of her own, the tendril still buried inside you, firm, high breasts, a smiling face, a silvery, metallic, amorphous blob now forming into a woman, standing above the sleeve, one of her arms formed into a tendril at the tip, aligned with your pussy, sliding in. And then she slides out of you. Oh, glorious emptiness. You see the prehensile tendril change into a hand with long, delicate fingers that she uses to pick up the sleeve, to pick up your pussy itself. And she brings it up to her luscious, full, silvery lips. Her long, silver hair sways in an unseen force which simulates a breeze. She extends her tongue. Her long, silvery tongue, which is every bit as big as the fully swollen tentacle before, but it has the pliable surface of a real tongue, a non-metallic one. It slides warmly, drippingly, covered in her saliva, pushing inside. The instructor speaks as you roll in your chair, eyes rolling back, whole body shaking. She's pushing her tongue inside. She's pushing her tongue inside. This is my assistant, of course. I kept her restrained, but now that I've decided you've all observed enough, and I hope you've taken notes, I will begin my instruction in specific. How to do what we do, how to wait, how to provoke, and she will lick and ply and dose with my spell over the room. It will take a long time for even the most aroused of subjects to climax. It will be quite impossible for release to occur unless there is a very good reason. So watch. I'm going to hold back with the spell, and she's going to do more and more. Good thing that this isn't attached to a humanoid subject, because surely my assistant would fail her exam for driving them beyond usability too early. Your eyes roll back. She's still licking. The metallic slime girl licking deep into your pussy, lapping your juices. Her tongue just like a metallic toy, needing very little lubricant to be very slick. Perfectly smooth, heavy inside you, giving you a feeling of weight. Even though she's holding your pussy in sleeve form, your whole body feels weighed down to the chair. Your arms grow more languid and heavy, aphrodisiac musk in the air from every woman in the room, getting too horny to think. You feel your whole body throb as all of the monstrous creatures begin to touch themselves in a slick mess of tendrils, of tongues, of pussies, of dripping slits like yours, capturing around fingers coated in aphrodisiac potion and fluid. And the figure kneeling on the instructor's desk is lapping your juices, trading them for doses of the drug in her saliva. As more and more stimulation is applied, the instructor explains, the brain begins to dump oxytocin and dopamine. There's a strong bonding reaction. The amounts are rather higher with her venom in the system. This is true for most of you. A dozen, maybe 100 sessions at the outside, and any given subject mind will have reshaped the body. Vice versa as well. A person who is not allowed to climax will remain in the preclimactic reward state for as long as they are in your presence, which will enable you to pleasure them more effectively. This is why we wait. And indeed she does wait. Even though that tongue is inside your pussy, the energy builds and builds. See now that she has spread a tendril from her palm as well. This is the primary erogenous zone of my subject, and there we go. Each of you has something like this. My assistant uses it only when the subject is so aroused that you know that they would climax if you made even one mistake. She has ascertained the most sensitive spots. You watch as the second tendril winds inside you alongside her tongue. You realize what the instructor is saying is true. The assistant has found all the spots of slightly different texture or pressure inside of you. She has found how to spiderweb the nervous system stimulus, even as enhanced by the spell as this version of your sex in the toy is. She could have you whimpering and begging with no enhancement at all. And now she will apply stimulus. Long, thick, firm, ridged, exactly right. But we do not apply too much. 1, 2. Your mind throbs, the pulses come slow at first, slow, regular, rhythmic, constant, unassailable, unstoppable. The pleasure between your legs, or where it would be, is too much for you to focus. Your body is distant, tingly, almost numb. Your mind is melting, your slit is dripping, clinging to her as she slides her long pleasure center in and begins to swing her hips. Same as you've been doing, same as you keep wanting to do. You want to swing against the long tendril inside you, forward and back thrusting, but she's lifting the toy, lifting your stolen sex, using you to gratify herself. 3 and 4 and 5, and she goes on and on and on, thrusting her hips, lifting the toy, lifting your stolen sex, using you to gratify herself. 3, 4, 5 pulses, flashes, flares, drugged doses and drops of pleasure never stop, just come more rapidly. Less about your body, though you clench your ass and squeeze tight and feel something rising. More about your mind, bathed in the chemical aphrodisiac lust she's mentioned. As she describes the entrainment and dosing process, describes the way that her subjects, her assistant, her students are all made to train and condition, to change you so you become a sleeve hooked on them, eternally supplying them sexual energy, as she describes the phenomenon, it happens to you. 6, 7, 8, 9, thrusting, sliding, breaking, rotating the tendril deep inside of you. The woman above the sleeve is moaning as she uses you, torments you, teases you. She's dripping from her own pussy, just keeping herself on edge. Every bit as forbidden to climax as you are. But you're sure she would be coming, you would be coming, if she could, if you could. 10, 11, 12, 20 pulses per minute, per second, your mind is racing, trying to find a way out. An escape from the tension-laden torment that you can only watch as you're forced to feel it, and you love it. You want it. You want it to happen. It just feels like it might be a little too much, and you wonder if you can bear it. Everyone in the room is rubbing themselves off, moaning and juddering in their seats, salivating at the possibility of getting to have what she has. She herself, the metallic slime girl, scarcely notices that she's the object of envy. Her tits are bouncing, her head is thrown back. You wish you could give back, could lavish attention on her shape-shifting form, as she loves how good it feels to fuck you, and you love how good it feels to be her toy. You envy her subjects, the ones who get to come, the ones who get to break. You want to break, but with the spell in the room, breaking is impossible. There's only shivering, only shaking, only your brain melting out from between your legs. As you can see, my assistant cannot hold back anymore. The instructor says this because the slime girl has begun whimpering, whining, moaning with an open mouth, her shiny tendrils shuddering, unable to climax. The shivering causes you to vibrate inside, to squeeze, your blank crotch echoing the sympathy of that sleeve of your pussy which has been enchanted, which is no longer affixed to your body, but is very affixed to that tentacle. You are locked off from climax by the blank, featureless expanse between your legs. You have nothing to come with. Maybe your ass, maybe your tongue, maybe your chest, maybe every erogenous zone in your body could come if you focused your attention, but it's impossible. How could you drag your focus away from that tentacle? She's smirking, standing in the doorway. Lesson concluded. The others are leaving, hands or tendrils between their legs, finding their way out of the room, out and gone. And you stay where you are, and no one looked at you because they're in too much of a rush to escape, to go get off outside the instructor's spell. She and her assistant stay, and they both look toward you. The assistant seems to notice you for the first time, and, locking gaze with you, silvery glowing eyes fixed on you, she continues thrusting in and out, deliberately. She's locked her eyes with you, and when your back bends, arches, you hear her giggle. Can I have them? Asks the assistant, in a voice of burbling, sharpening sparks. That depends on what they want, says the instructor. I can let them go. They'll be just fine. Holding back, going home. Of course, climax might be locked off for some time. My magic, my curses tend to stick. You whimper, eyes wide, unblinking. That won't do. You need to come right now. You need it now. Riding so close to the edge, on the very brink, mind and body tied up in a knot. You need it after this. You can't stand it. You can't. Or, alternatively, yes, you think. Yes, whatever she wants, whatever she says, any other option. I could let my assistant have her way with you, but there will surely be a price. You will experience just what I described in this lesson. You will be subjected to her. You comprehend it. You feel the significance of her words, being sent home or else being subjected to the assistant. Either way, there is a cost. Too much climax or too little, lost and trained or tempted by your own craving. The two of them look very smug. What of them you can focus on through the potent mind-melting haze? Damned if you do, damned if you don't, left on the edge, whimpering for more, dripping mindless and constant. You're not qualified to make this decision, but you're also a bundle of every nervous system impulse possible, just waiting to be discharged, waiting to escape the spiraling ecstasy. As they hold your sex quite literally in the palm of your hands and giggle at your edged, needy, drugged, dosed predicament, lost inside your own mind. You think you're coming already, but you forget what that is, shuttering your thoughts away, shuttering the world away, shuttering every part of your mind except the part that makes this decision, that chooses denial or the truth of your release.